Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confused and more friendly.
From
coast to coast and around the world.
No, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on.
All right, there they are. Boy, they're all happy now. It is warming up here in Florida. We got beautiful evenings. We're on daylight saving time, and so the evenings are brighter. Yep. And you know, we've got all of our bus people that are thrilled, and so everything is everything is good. It is getting hot out there.
I need to get the orchestra back because during that last time, I didn't hear the horns like I did last time. So we're going to have to work on that a bit. Orchestra, we're going to have to work on that.
Get them back together and all that. Same thing with the drum. I mean, I love that drum. That drum seems to fade a little bit there too. You know, we need to pull them back into the studio and sharpen up.
Well, it's a four-piece. It's a four-piece band, so I wasn't expecting much, but, you know, we're on a budget, so.
Yeah, but they did a good job. I mean, the guy who plays the cymbals also plays the drums, so he gets busy on that.
And the saxophone.
So we need to get that together. But welcome to All About Wine. This is March the 25th. 2021, 7:02 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you want to contact us, leave a message or something, you may do so, and we will respond to you. We don't take live calls anymore because we have matured and learned our lesson. So we will take a message from you and answer it live and all that good stuff. Let's see what else is coming up here. We had a guest, but we don't have a guest. Okay, we have a guest who's waiting patiently for us in Italy, but right now it's like 1 o'clock in the morning in Italy, so he's not on. Pier is his name. He's traveled all over the world and done all sorts of stuff and everything, and he will be our guest probably next week. We are looking at doing a recording of it and putting him on next week. So hang on, April Fool's Day coming up next Thursday, and this isn't an April Fool's joke. Pierre will be our guest. And stay tuned. And speaking of coming up too, next Thursday, April Fool's Day, this Saturday is Passover begins, and Sunday is Palm Sunday for all of you Christian following people out there. Monday is National Vietnam War Veterans Day, and it's not published a lot and all that, I know, because I'm a Vietnam War veteran, but Monday is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. So if you see a Vietnam War veteran or know of one, welcome them home. That probably of all the wars that were fought in this country, by this country, the Vietnam War veteran is probably the most, what's my words? There's lots of them, but none of them are good. They were never really embraced like they have all the others. So, I'm sorry. Least celebrated. Mentioner just mentioned least celebrated, and they really are. I can attest to that. I mean, it's just like, you know, we I have been called when I got back a baby killer and stuff like that because of, you know, Vietnam, the war itself and all that. So if you see a Vietnam veteran Monday or any day as far as that, welcome them home, because it's something that we all like to be welcomed home officially. And let's see what else. Easter's coming up on the 4th, but that's a week away. No guests next. Well, yeah, we should have Pierre on next week. So he'll be on next week. We also have some other guests coming up in April. I've been in correspondence with some other people. So our list of guests has not subsided yet. I was going to mention this to you before the show here, Mike, and I forgot. But we've got more guests that are getting in touch with me saying, hey, you know, you guys got a cool show there. Can we come and visit? And so it looks like we're going to have a master sommelier is going to be on. Remember the movie Somm from, oh, it's a documentary they call it, but 2012, they made a documentary called Somm, and it's about sommeliers, and it tells a little bit about them, all that. And an Ian, what's Ian's last name? Ian was featured on the show on that documentary quite a bit. Well, he is looking at being a guest on the show. So he's coming up sometime in April, hopefully. And then we have Joe, who is I got to expand this because it's not all on there. It shows you how prepared I am for telling about this. Joe is a Yulo wine purifier. Joe sells Yulo wine purifiers, and it offers a patented adjustable on-off aerator, dishwasher safe, made from BPA-free materials, and a travel bag, display vase, sulfite capture, all sorts of goody stuff. And Joe's going to be on to tell us all about the Yulo wine purifier and what it does and how it works, and the carafes that they sell, and the decanters, and you know, it's all that. That's coming up on the 29th of April. And let's see, who else? I got someone else here that got in touch with me, too. Oh, here we go. Katie, what's Katie? Long from Vintage Wine Estates is going to be a guest sometime in April also. So we've got some more guests coming up. We've got people lined up and all that. So stay with us on All About Wine, and I'm sure we'll find subjects that you will like. We keep telling you after the shows to, if you know anyone in the wine business who would like to be on the show, let us know and we'll get them on. But I'll tell you what, you all must be doing a good job, or something's happening out there.
Yeah.
Because we're getting guests, and that's cool. I like the thought that, and what they're doing too is, what's cool about it is people, like one here said, I listened to a podcast that you had recently, and I think this person would be great on it and stuff like that. So they are listening to the podcast and find that we're a good fit. So I will say the same thing again. If you know anyone out there in the wine business, or if you have a subject you want to talk, want me to research and talk about on the show, then email me. And that's All About Wine. BTR, is that right? Yeah.
No.
All About Wine 101 at gmail.com. And we'll look it up and find all the information we can and answer your questions, or maybe find someone who's an expert in that field and get them on. So let's see. What else do I want to cover before? I look through, you know, feeds all the time about different things and all that. And I saw this and I thought, wow, I got to talk about that on the show. And oops, back up a little bit here. That's not what I want. There we go. Dream job. California Winery offers free rent and $10,000 a month. All right. Now, this is from a lot of different sources here, but this first one is from Fox8.com in Sonoma County, KRON-TV. And it says, since it pulls it up here, a dream job just opened up in California wine country and comes with free rent. A family-owned winery in Sonoma County wants to give one wonderful wine enthusiast the chance to leave their normal job and break into the wine business. Along with free rent about an hour north of San Francisco, the lucky hire will get $10,000 a month. We have a job that will instantaneously catapult you into the wine stratosphere, says Murphy Good Winery. It's a really good job. Okay, again, a play on words. The pun was intended there. Murphy Good, good job. Some of the job duties include shadow winemaker Dave Reddy Jr. and the winemaking team during harvest and assist in winery operations. Learn the growing and dynamic world of e-commerce. Work with teams to drive awareness and build demand for Murphy Good Winery. The winery is asking for video applications and, of course, applicants who are at least 21 years old. Applicants will be evaluated on role value, creativity, and design, applicable experience, and skill set. The job description says the deadline is June the 30th, 2021. And it says find the application here. So you can look it up and there's applications online. Now that is from Fox8.com in Sonoma. Here's USA Today. See if it says anything different. No, it does not. Basically, okay. Yeah, it does say a little bit. Applicants must be 21. Submit a video entry by June 21st. The first 90 days of the job will be spent shadowing winemaker Dave Reedy. From there, they will work with you and your passions to help you choose the path in the wine business that you want. Choose your own path. After a year in orbit, a dozen bottles of French Bordeaux. Okay. Oh, that's something else I'm going to talk to you about, too. Other highlights found in the job description and duties include willing to have your employer pay your rent in idyllic town of Hillsburg. That's a beautiful little town there. Answers yes, please, when someone asks you red or white. You didn't choose wine. Wine chose you. Willingness and excitement to learn about various aspects of the wine industry. Explore the many beautiful features of Sonoma wine country. Provide hospitality to trade and consumers by contributing to a positive winery experience. And before sending an application for your possible dream job, the posting states applicants must be able to repeatedly lift a minimum of 50 pounds and that the position is overtime exempt, requiring flexible hours and some weekend work as necessary. So there you go. Murphy Good in Sonoma County. Beautiful area there. Absolutely gorgeous area. So I saw that and I thought, okay, there you go. Y'all can start getting your resumes and your video resumes together and send it in to them. And if you're a winner from this area or something, send me a copy of your video resume and I'll post it up on our Facebook page. Space Wine. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but I mentioned something a year ago about sending some wine into orbit. A dozen bottles of French wine were sent up into orbit and traveled in orbit. They wanted to see how aging would happen and what would happen if it aged for a year. They also sent up some clippings, some shoots, some plants up there, some Cabernet, I think, and I don't know what the grapes were, but they sent up some grapevines into space to see how they would be affected by the weightlessness for a year. So you had grapevines and wine. Now, when they sent it up there, the bottles were in a non-breakable stainless steel container. You can't send glass into space. There's, I don't know, some treaty among space people on Earth that you can't send glass into space. So they had to cover it up and all that. Well, it came back. The wines came back. Now, the wines that they sent up in space were not cheap wines. They were very expensive wines. They were Bordeaux, expensive Bordeaux, and they were, well, here it doesn't say on this article here, but what I read in the original article, they were like $10,000 a bottle. They were very expensive French Bordeaux. And they were compared to similar bottles left here on Earth. So what they did was sent those up in space for a year, and then the ones left on Earth were stored under ideal conditions for the year. And they were able to taste them last week. They invited, I want to say 12, but it might have been 20. I can't remember what it said. It doesn't say it in this article, but the one I read did say the number. But they invited 12 or 20 sommeliers to come and taste it. And they tasted the old, or they tasted the wine that went into space, and they also tasted the wine that stayed on Earth. And the overall consensus among everyone was that the wines that went to space were younger, were better aged. They kept their youthfulness to it, whereas the ones on Earth, you can start seeing that they were aged a little bit. They got different aromas coming out and all that, but you know how sommeliers are. They make up all these aromas about wines and all that, so you can go, ooh, whether you can tell them or not. But they found all these, you know, different things like leather and, well, what was some of the other descriptors? I can't recall right offhand. But they were tasted compared to the new ones, and they found that the ones in space did age slower and kept its freshness and fruitiness about it. So they are finding that maybe with sending wines to space, it might help, or even the grapevines themselves might help mitigate the climate change, the climate effect we're having. And so we'll see what happens from there. But interesting thing, here we go. Packaged inside steel cylinders, and they remained uncorked and were sent to orbit on November 2019. And then they just got back couple of weeks ago, I think, is when they tasted them. I don't know when they actually got back. And they opened them the end of February. So, Space Cargo Unlimited is the company that did this. And they find that the grapevines themselves that they sent out there, the clippings themselves, fared very well and all that. So, $10,000 a bottle is what they said that these wines were worth. when they came back. So I don't know what it would take. I'll have to ask Ian when he comes on in a couple of weeks, because he is a master sommelier, and he is only one of a very few handful in the world who is a master sommelier. And we'll see if he was invited to this space wine tasting. Okay, so there you go. All right. And I'm going to need to turn off this machine because it's losing power. This is not wine, but this is something that reminded me of something we talked about a few years ago. Coca-Cola Company's first ever paper bottle prototype is transitioning from the lab to the marketplace this summer through a limited online trial in Hungary. A run of 2,000 bottles of the plant-based beverage ADEZ, will be offered in the pioneering package via e-grocery retailer Kiffy.hu for Hungary. And it goes on and talks about it here. But the point being, it's a paper bottle. Now, we talked about Paperboy. When was this? 4 or 5 years ago, I think. A wine bottle made out of paper called Paperboy. And it just sort of stopped. Nothing came of it. And I was sort of excited about the possibilities there, but then that was the end of it. Well, Coca-Cola is testing a paper bottle now. If that works, who knows? We may move on to other things. The last paragraph of this says, this is new technology. Well, how can it be, since Paperboy was using paper wine bottles, I think about 5 years ago. And it says, we are moving in uncharted territory. You have to invent the technical solutions as we go along. So, like I say, I saw that and it reminded me of the paper wine bottles that we talked about. I got 4 or 5 years ago. It had to be. It's been quite some time since we mentioned the paper wine bottles. So there you go. All right. Sulfites. We haven't talked about sulfites in a while. It's been, I bring them up every once in a while. I'll talk about sulfites here and there and what they do. And we've talked about sulfites and different things. And then we have a guest coming up at the end of April, Joe, who is going to tell you the evils of sulfite and how his ULO is going to remove sulfites and stuff. And and believe me, I'm not going to put him on the spot or anything when he comes on the show. And some people are really afraid of sulfites, but I saw this about sulfites, and this is out of the Wine Enthusiast magazine, and it said how sulfites became public enemy number one in wine. And it's interesting because Jessica Green is the girl who is interviewed quite a bit in this story. And she says that when a new article about sulfites is published without opening a magazine or looking at her phone, she knows that there is a new article out there because people start coming into her wine store, which is a natural wine store in Sayville, New York, called Down the Rabbit Hole. And they say, I'm allergic to wine. I can't drink wine because I have allergies. And she knows that new article just came out. The only ingredient people see, and they immediately think it's going to give them a headache. Well, the federal government requires bottles to carry a sulfite statement if a wine contains just 10 parts per million of sulfites, or PPM is how it's worded. And so, therefore, just about every wine contains that. According to WebMD, only 1% of the population has a sulfite sensitivity. People with asthma are at greater risk, but the Cleveland Clinic reports that just 1 to 2.5% of asthmatics have sensitivity to sulfites. So it's very low. It's not like, oh my gosh, there's sulfites in this. It's just a phrase. It's something. Here's someone else here, and who is this? This is Matthew Rurick from Forlorn Hope Wines in Napa. Say that people come in and say, I only drink wine without sulfites. And he says they don't understand what sulfites really do. Says there's this perception that sulfites is cheating in wine somehow. And Rurick says that he uses a native yeast and he unfilters and doesn't add anything. But he said sometimes you have to add a little bit of sulfur dioxide, which is sulfites, liquid solution with sulfites, to prevent oxidation or limit the bacterial growth. And he said mostly it's a benign tool. It's just that it's misunderstood. It's there because it's another tool in the box of things that help wine. Winemakers at certified organic vineyards often use it to control mildew. And so therefore, even in certified organic, they can use some sulfites as long as it's within a certain parameter. During fermentation, Saccharomyces yeast, a sugar-loving strain, which is also used to make bread and beer, eats the sugar in the grape juice and converts it to alcohol. But these aren't the only microbes that fight for the sugar. Bacteria that can cause wine to smell like nail polish remover or vinegar want to feed on that sugar too. Yeast releases sulfites to thwart that bacteria. And if all goes well, the yeast wins, and the wine ferments as expected. But sometimes the bacteria takes over and starts to win. That's when the winemaker has to add a little bit of sulfur dioxide or sulfites to help the yeast win the battle. And that's what happens. It doesn't always work the way you want it to, so he has to add a little bit to do it. And it also stabilizes the wine as you are aging and stuff like that. It stabilizes it. Says there's a quirky bacteria that causes a mousy aroma in Chenin Blancs and Cabernet Francs and stuff. And it can emerge just after malolactic fermentation. But adding just 10 parts per million of sulfur will kill that. Not going to hurt you. It's minute. Says every so often, people will call this winery Lang and Reed and ask the owner if he has sulfites. He says each bottled wine has 20 to 30 parts per million of sulfites. But nobody asks how much sulfites is in the pale golden dried pear that's a tasting amenity in the St. Helena winery. So even those have sulfites. And they go on and say, sulfur dioxide or sulfites is present in a lot of packaged foods. According to USDA, dried apricots could contain more than 2,000 parts per million sulfur dioxide. Meanwhile, amounts of sulfite added to a bottle of biodynamic wine is only up to 100 parts per million. Sulfites are also found in frozen potatoes, pickles, and shrimp. Keeps them from turning brown. People used to come into the winery all the time and ask about sulfites. And it's just something, I think every winery goes through it. Every winery, people are concerned about sulfites. And it's... people think they're allergic to sulfites, and usually it isn't. I always ask people, are you allergic to dried fruit? And no, most people say they enjoy dried fruit, and dried fruit contains, hundreds of times more sulfites than just about any bottle of wine you're going to find. There's no winery that's going to bring up their sulfite level to 2,000 parts per million. It's against the law. The maximum you can do in the United States is 350 parts per million. So you have to keep it down that low. A lot of times, the reaction of the headaches that people are always complaining about in red wines, particularly, is the histamines and also the tannins. These are more of the culprit than anything than sulfites ever will be of giving people headaches. So the histamines and tannins are the bad guys. Sulfites just help the wine stabilize, basically. Andrew Waterhouse, who is a wine chemist at the University of California, Davis, says there are no studies linking sulfites to headaches, though too much tannin or alcohol definitely can make your head throb. So, sulfites. We had to visit that again quickly. I saw this article, and it summed up quite a few things very nicely here. It's cleans out the wine. It gives it shelf life. It uses it stops fermentation, so you're not going to get a fermentation in the bottle that can cause the bottle to explode or something because it's created oxygen or CO2. And it's overall just another tool of all the different tools that wineries use. But it's nothing to really be afraid of or concerned about. From Washington to Italy, 13 of our favorite biodynamic wines. This little thing that popped up here, I just saw, and I wasn't going to mention this, but I saw this and I had to click on it and see what it has to say here. All right, there's a list of 13 biodynamic wines. That that's interesting. It has 13 biodynamic wines. Here's one from Santa Ynez Valley at the 2018 Sparkling Syrah, $42. Here's 2014 Trebbiano di Abruzzo from Italy, $115. 2018 Rockpile Ridge Vineyard Zinfandel from $49, 93 points. A Revito 2017. $30, that's the cheapest on the list here, 93 points. A Domaine Anderson 2017 Pinot Noir, $55, 93 points. These are all biodynamics. 2018 Mineral Springs Ranch Pinot Noir, $75, 94 points. The next one is Ripon 2016 Mature Lake. Mature Vine Lake Wanaka Pinot Noir from New Zealand, $62, 94 points. Brickhouse 2017 Pinot Noir, $70, 94 points. A Yangara 2017 Kingswood Syrah from McLaren Vale, Australia, $50, 95 points. A M. Choptier 2016 La Mille White Hermitage, $190, 95 points. Dr. Brooklyn Wolf 2017 Riesling, $120, 95 points. Horsepower 2017 High Contrast Vineyard Syrah from Walla Walla Valley in Washington, $121, 96 points. And Alan Loge, 2017 La Les Villes Venice, $85, 96 points. And that's the last one. But 13 organic wines, all of them up there in the $50 to $150 range. Whoa. So I just saw that. I wasn't going to just ran through that quickly for you because, well, that was interesting. I'm not going to go through this whole article. I'm going to highlight this thing a little bit here for you. Because I think I've already talked about this. I'm pretty sure I did. But the U.S. Supreme Court denies reviewing in the retailer wine shipping case. This was from, let's see, how long ago? A month and a half ago. Boy, it's been a while since I've had a chance to read you some of this. The U.S. Supreme Court will wait for a circuit split to emerge for granting cert or certification on the issue of legal standards set forth in Granholm versus Tennessee. Excuse me, Granholm and Tennessee Wine. The court's lack of action leaves in place a decision which replaces the Commerce Clause standards set forth in Granholm and Tennessee Wine and deems the non-discriminatory reasonable alternatives test required for Commerce Clause 21st Amendment cases as an irrelevant legal, which is not good. Let me tell you, that's not good because it basically circumvents the Commerce Clause, which is the 21st Amendment. And it's saying that in real life terms, the court's lack of activity leaves in place state protectionist regimes, which puts a fence around state borders and does not allow out-of-state retailers access to consumers that desire a specific product. All right. In the end, the consumers basically are going to be losers, as well as small wineries and the taxpayers. If a consumer cannot obtain a specific wine because the in-state wholesale network does not supply that wine to retailers, the consumer is forbidden from accessing another state's marketplace to satisfy its demands. Simply put, if you want to get a certain wine from your local store and they don't carry it, you're stuck. You cannot go out of state and order the thing coming into you. Out-of-state specialty retailers cannot access customers in other states that desire their products. This leaves them shut off from the laws of supply and demand and protectionist state-specific regimes, which basically it just gives the state the right to sell or not sell whatever they so desire, and you don't have any choice if you're living in that state. The winner is big retailers and protectionism. Businesses don't have much of a say in this, but the big retailers like Total Wines and Whole Foods, which, by the way, is owned by Amazon, have the capital and the money to be able to put up physical locations in each state and put their products in there, and so therefore they can sell it. But if it's not there, too bad. It is something the court's going to have to decide eventually. I think they're waiting for the lower courts to finally get to the point where they split the vote here, split the vote there, and then the Supreme Court finally says, okay, I guess we better review this and see what's going on. But that could take years because they'll agree to review something, and then a couple of years later, it finally makes it there to review. So that's the way it works. I'm not happy with this. With COVID hitting and tax revenues, sales tax revenues down from wines and states and all that, this is also seriously hurting sales tax revenue to states because they can't sell wines from other states. They can't ship it in, you know, and get taxes on it and all that. So overall, it's just really a mess, a total mess on this. As I see anything else, I will keep you informed. But, you know, it just got to continue on to the next courts and stuff like that before the Supreme Court really starts looking at what's going on with that stuff. excuse me, regenerative viticulture. Regenerative viticulture. Trendy. Or is it just, you know, is that a new trendy buzzword, or is that really a new farming philosophy? This article talks about that. Basically, it says what makes it unique and superior to sustainable viticulture is that it requires one to consider the entire ecosystem under one stewardship, not just what happens on the piece of land directly farmed. Now, we have talked about stuff like this more and more recently. Mike, it's not called regenerative stewardship. What is it? We had the one winery sails to the wind or something that does it. Do you recall? I'm trying to think of it.
I don't.
No.
Try have it. It's not agriculture. It's I've heard of regenerative agriculture, but I don't remember what it's.
Yeah, I can't remember. They got. Well, yeah, I couldn't think of it. I thought maybe you might, because you know that still trap of a mind you have remembering stuff. And so.
Regenerative farming. There's, I don't know.
I don't know. If you happen to think of it, just jump in there. But regenerative farming, Robert Rodell, who's credited with coining the term in the 1980s, believes that sustainability doesn't go far enough. It's not a challenging enough goal. And he says, also not against organic and biodynamics, but both approaches need to go further. It says regenerative agriculture takes the thinking a step further. Now, regenerative viticulture has become a buzzword in the wine world recently, and there's some confusion. Let's see, maybe this paragraph says a new certification program launched by the Regenerative Organic Alliance, ROA, aims to change that. And I don't think that was the one that we were talking about either. Founded in
August 13th, you mentioned Regenerative Organic Certified, introduced by Tablas Creek Vineyard.
Okay.
And that's the only mention of regenerative that I have. A regenerative organic certified ROC was introduced by Tablas Creek. That's the only reference that I show on here.
And this article also talks about in November 2019, the organization certified its first winery, Tablas Creek Vineyard, in Paso Robles.
Okay.
This goes and mentions that too. And it says, what makes a difference is why we, ROAN offers this, farming that uses natural processes to build restorative elements in the space in which we farm. Farming is service of life. But what was that? Sails to the wind or something that...
Center of Effort?
Yeah, Center of Effort, that winery.
Yeah, okay. Yep, Center of Effort Winery.
Yeah. Now, they were something else besides just regenerative. I think they
were...
Yeah,
we had Nathan Carlson on. SIP certified.
SIP, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, SIP seems like it would be, you know, more along the line of this regenerative that they're talking about here than anything SIP certified, because they're talking, this article talks about how it's all encompassing. It says improving the water cycle, enhancing the ecosystem, and supporting biosequestrianism, capturing and storing greenhouse gas carbon dioxide. The regenerative farm strengthens the health of its own soil and increases the earth's reliance our resilience to climate change. I don't know. I almost think that SIP certification, the way it talks about what we've understood of SIP certification, is that it's everything. I mean, you're looking at paperwork, you're looking at everything on the farm, whereas this is separate core elements that define regenerative organics into singularly focused programs. While the ROA certification encompasses them all, and they're talking about, well, here, this paragraph, some of it. ROA protocol is based upon the most basic organic farming methods as defined by the National Organic Program, then builds from there to include specific protocols to improve soil health, animal welfare, and social justice. Social justice, that is confusing to me. Why social justice? I guess if you have workers there and, you know, pay them and take care of them and all that, that's what they might mean by social justice. To be truly regenerative, one must go above and beyond current mainstream agricultural production certifications. All right, says ROA's Executive Director Elizabeth Whitlow. In Whitlow's experience, these are more mainstream certifications, separate the core elements. Yeah, I need to, let me make a note to contact Elizabeth Whitlow somehow and see if we can't get her on to tell us about regenerative. That could be interesting. See, by using petrochemicals and fuel for equipment and employing certain processing procedures, a conventionally farmed vineyard emits more carbon than the plants can consume during photosynthesis. The goal of regenerative organics is to simultaneously decrease carbon emissions and increase carbon uptake and storage, primarily through the use of cover crops, which sounds a lot like organic or biodynamic. Permanent cover crops not only sequester up to 2 additional tons of carbon per acre, but they also improve underground microbe and vertebrate diversity and increase water absorption and retention. Sounds a lot like biodynamic again. Excuse me. So, says John Hass, a proprietor and general manager of Tablas Creek, the ROA's first certified producer, points out that vines, which serve as permanent cover crops, are well set up for carbon sequestering. As grapes grow, they also have an opportunity to do most of the work in the vineyard. Basically, what you're trying to do year-round is make sure that the farm has a role in pulling carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So, this is the bulk of the life cycle of the vine is conducive to no-till. I'm not turning it over. It sounds very much biodynamic, except for small things. Let's see, considering animals and social justice. So here we go. Farms that use livestock as natural grazers and fertilizers can further aid carbon reduction. Use a combination of low no-till cover crops, which sequesters the most carbon. Soil fertility is from the not just from the crops, but also from the animal manure. And it's organic, and so therefore it's a low carbon to nitrogen ratio. The so-called holistic grazing adds that it's a beautiful harmonization that these animals rotate through the vineyards to help graze down cover crops between wine rows, add manure, and stir up the soil. So you don't have to mow or till. It benefits the animals, the vines, and the soil. I think we're talking biodynamic here. Sure sounds like it, only without planting the cow horns. The five freedoms of ROA are freedom from discomfort, freedom from stress, freedom from hunger, freedom from pain, and to express behaviors natural to their species. So the animal welfare five freedoms gives you that. The ROA program. It says the program is modeled after respected social certifications in the world, including Fair for Life and Fair Trade International. And that also includes outlines fairness to farm workers. So that's sums up your social aspect of it. And says tasting results in the glass, it does taste better. Well, oh, of course they're going to say that. They all say that. They're working to make it, and they said that it overall gives you a better ecosystem and better overall vineyard and wine and growth and everything. But not everyone is a believer. Regenerative viticulture is just a new descriptor for what we in the biodynamic and organic world have been doing all along, says Rudy Marchesi, a partner at Montanore Vineyards in Oregon, who has been a leader in biodynamics for decades. He says the carbon sequestration that is being promoted as a key component of regenerative agriculture occurs in all farming systems that increase the organic matter in soil. It's just new packaging. So he's not a big fan of this. He believes that biodynamic certification remains the international gold standard in farming best practices. He argues that biodynamics goes above and beyond regenerative standards and benefits from its international network of farmers, producers, and researchers that continue to use and improve the farming standards and provide a more evolved and relevant set of guidelines that lead us further along the path of quality. And so, there you go. Is regenerative viticulture really something new, or is it just a new name, new twist on biodynamic and organic? I don't know. I really am. I will try to get a hold of, what did I say her name was? I just had it here and I scrolled past it.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth. There you go. Thank you. I'll try to get a hold of her. There it is. Elizabeth Whitlow. And she's the executive director of ROA. And see if she would mind coming on the show and telling us about ROA and how it is different from biodynamic or organic or SIP, as far as that goes, too. I mean, you're getting all these different certifications and everything out there. It makes you wonder. Well, it makes me wonder if I'm just raising grapes and making wine, am I not good enough? Is it that I should be doing something other than that? Or is it worth it or what? I don't know. So I will try to get a hold of her and see if I can't follow up and find out what's going on with this ROA and see what's happening there. Regenerative viticulture. Trendy? Yeah, probably somewhat, but most of them probably are, I would think, a little bit trendy. And so, I don't know. Okay. Is there something else I want to talk about tonight? I don't think so. I think I might have covered some of the stuff I wanted to cover tonight. And so, yeah. Yeah, it looks like I have. I was talking to Mike before the show. We haven't gave a shout out to Mike and his radio show that he does, and he just told me that he's with a new format. As you call it, format, new network.
Station, it's a new station. It's not a
new station.
Same format. The format's a little different. And it's interesting. I was going to mention that before. Is that it's based in Europe, but I mean, there's listeners. A lot of them are from America, but they're based in Europe. And some of the requests that I've gotten and I've had to look up, I mean, they're like in different languages. And it's something I've never heard, so I got to, Google the song, look for the lyrics. One was in total Chinese, so hit the translate button and then go line by line and go, okay, no bad word. Okay, so, and then I listened to it and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's different. It's kind of good in a way because it's kind of opening my eyes to, not your mainstream tunes, I guess, but that second, the third week or so, it's like all these requests were coming in. And I thought, I've never even heard of the group. I mean, who are these people? And and I just check the lyrics and play it regardless. It's like, that one kind of grows on you after a while, and then it's perfect. It's cool.
Well, that'd
be fun.
Yeah,
it's not bad. Oh. Some of the tunes though are like, wow, okay. I have no idea what they're saying, but as long as I verify it, I'm good to go.
It's something that's was catchy or stuff like that. I mean, we picked up songs throughout my lifetime that I've heard that were in different languages, and I'm going, well, that's sort of a really neat song there. Not that I understand the words, but it's just overall you just enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's on Jetstream Radio. What is that? .com or dot what?
.com. No, it's .com.
.com. Okay. Yeah. It's not .uk or anything. Okay.
No, that's a surprise. I thought it would be, but it's been a couple of weeks now, or two, three and a half. I forgot what it is now. Two and a half, 3 weeks, and been going good. Same time slot on Saturday, so.
Saturday from 7 to 9 a.m. Check him out again on the new format. If you have Sky Blue Radio on there, you can still listen to that, but you won't listen to Mike. But check him out on jetstreamradio.com. And I don't know. I just found out about it. I haven't registered or whatever it takes to get in there.
The player's right on the main page, and the request button, whenever somebody's live, the request button is there, and you can, send in whatever, message, shout out, and a request. So it's pretty good. Oh, what we forgot is our authors and filmmakers.
We did. You're right.
Okay.
So I'll let you.
Until next week.
Go ahead.
I got to take a deep breath. Hang on.
Okay. Go.
Okay. Back in October, co-directors Mark Johnson and Mark Ryan and writer Michael Karam were on the show October 8, 2020. The movie Wine and War, The Untold Story of Wine in the Middle East, is about survival, resilience. Did I mention this is like 3 minutes long? Okay. Anyway.
That's okay.
And struggles. Wine has been in Lebanon culture for 7,000 years. They are raising money for CAPHO, a great organization, and you can go to wineandwar.com. Also, the music is in stereo, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, but
I can hear it on my headphones. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
In stereo, high fidelity, like Facebook stereo? Okay. Wineandwar.com. Click the Watch Now button, and that'll take you to where you need to go to watch it. On October the 15th, Jim Lockman was on the show. He's a certified wine educator and author. You can visit jimlockren.com. That's Jim, LAUGHREN.com. It's 8 o'clock, by the way. We just passed 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's okay. We're
and,
good.
He has a two quick books right now out called The 15-Minute Guide to Red Wine, which is
actually,
only 28 pages
good
of good reading.
O'clock.
And 15-Minute Guide. We're good till when?
9 o'clock.
9?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, we still have another hour. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
just wait a few minutes and then play it again. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
To White Wine. This is another quick read and a handy reference to have as well. Check that out on Amazon. On October 29th, we welcomed Joy Neighbors to our Halloween special. She is the author of The Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide, How to Find, Record, and Preserve Your Ancestors' Graves, including topics to plan your trip to the cemetery, research, make sense of your research, and digging deeper into other records or preserving cemeteries. It's available at Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, and other outlets. On November 19th, we welcomed Michael Brown, author of Pinot Rocks, and he's also a winemaker. The book is available on Amazon.com. Pinot Rocks is available in any format, and the audio format is great because William Shatner did the audiobook version of his book. That's right, Captain Kirk. On January 14th, we had a great conversation with Cap Kaplowitz, a podcaster and blogger of cigars, spirits, coffee, and wine. And All About Wine's own show host, Ron, is also the wine panelist on the show. For more information, visit kaplowitz.xyz. That's kaplowitz.xyz. Are you technically the wine panelist on there? Is that what it is?
I am the wine panelist. I'm the only one. There's a coffee panelist. There's a cigar panelist.
Yeah.
There's a spirits panelist. I am the wine.
Yeah, somebody involved in the paranormals on there? That's pretty cool. It's very diverse. Oh, spirits, you mean like drinks.
Like drinks, yeah. Scotch, whiskey.
All right. That's the ghost names. Ghost names. Scotch, whiskey, and yeah. All right.
And ghost.
Where's the play button? Yeah, and ghost. Where's the play button? February 11th, 2021, we had founder and producer of Beer, Wine, and Spirits, Jeff Bradford, on the show. The filmmaker dedicated to revealing the stories behind the labels of our favorite drinks. On February 25th, we welcome Natalie McClune, podcast host of the popular Unreserved Wine Talk. She's also an author of Red, White, and Drink All Over, and Unquenchable. That's Drunk All Over, by the way. That was
drunk,
a typo
yeah,
on
yeah.
my part. Yeah, Red, White, and Drunk All Over. Sorry, Natalie, if you're out there. Okay. A tip to best for the world's best bargain wines, plus several quick reads available on her website. She is also the wine expert on CTV's The Social, which is Canada's largest daytime television show, CTV News, and Global Television's morning show. You can pick up her ultimate food and wine pairing guide for free by visiting her website at nataliemaclean.com/allaboutwine. That's Natalie, MACLEAN.com/allaboutwine.
Hold on a second. Very good. You got through it too. No coughing in it.
Yeah, thank you. No, it wasn't coughing or anything. It's funny
you know,
how it paused like that.
This is unfair though. You got the button on it. I don't have control over that. You haven't put it on the
Well, I have the stereo version of it. If I play the mono version, it doesn't sound right on mono. And Blog
Talk right.
Radio, they grade the audio so far. It comes out hazy. I don't know. But it would be good to let you be able to control it as well.
Some reason you want to jump on the company jet and fly somewhere and I'm doing the show.
You can close out and I'm halfway to Antarctica or someplace. Where it's
yeah,
cooler.
Yeah.
I guess it's cool. Anyway, it is, if we don't, it's a problem. We have 8:04 on the clock now, and I guess we will stop the show here and return next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern
Daylight
Time. I get those mixed up. I don't know why.
You do.
I don't know why it hasn't.
It's like me not being able to remember the PIN phone number. I mean, I know the guest call-in number. I can shout that out, but I still never did learn that host PIN number. You know, so,
I know the call-in number better than I know my own cell phone number.
That's with me too.
I go into some store, they're like, "What's the last four digits of your phone number?" And I'm like,
3235.
3235?
No. I know that too.
That's all about wine number. By the way, here's my card. Be sure to tune in on things.
Week we might have a guest. We should have a guest next week.
Yeah. We'll get that all set up, and we will have them from Italy, the homeland. And I hope that's how you say his name. We should probably get that verified before we dedicate ourselves to calling him that.
That's true. When I email him and ask him to move it to 9:30 for the pre-record, I'll say, "And your name is pronounced how?"
All right, I'm getting some kind of errors on our stream. Some kind of we have notifications or something. Some kind of issue with the bandwidth, I guess. So I'm going to play the outro. Thank you all for watching, or tuning in, watching, and we'll see you all next Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook on All About Wine.
Be safe. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on the show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Okay. Yeah.